Hello and welcome to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I'm one of your hosts today, Mills Grant.
And I'm Scott Beard.
And it is a delight to be here, is it not, Scott?
It is. Yes.
I can rest.
Why?
I don't know. I really can't, because it seems to get busier and busier and busier and busier.
One more time.
But I got to sit. But it's getting busier. One more time. I got it in for you.
Thank you.
But I can rest. Folks, you are tuned in to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. You can find us during the week. It's pretty simple at www.carolinafreshfarms.com. There you will find a fair amount of resources, a lot of information about the products we sell, from fertilizers to hardscape products to mulches. Ooh, it's about mulch time of the year, is it not, Scott?
It is.
Ooh, time to start sprucing up that landscape. Saw some mulch going out this morning in a retail establishment before they opened on the way to work. But also find a lot of information about sod and varieties of grasses that we not only supply, but we actually grow and produce into the state of South Carolina. I think that's what I know that's what sets us apart from all other folks out there, or not all, but most of the folks out there that may have retail stores in your locale, is we are the sod farmer. We control it, we grow it, we produce it, and we control our own trucking as well. Now, certainly we use some independent truckers from time to time to get it to the store, but when you get a delivery from Carolina Fresh Farms, it comes with a nice Carolina Fresh Farms truck. I mean, it doesn't come with it. It's not like you get a free truck. I know what you're thinking, Scott.
That would be nice.
That would be nice. But it comes with our employees delivering that product, our drivers, which are, by the way, I need to give them a shout-out. They're a very integral part of our business and very important to what they do. Because, you know, I think they have more contact with our customers than anyone else that works within the organization. They have direct contact in their personal domain, in their personal space. So shout-out to all the drivers at Carolina Fresh. You guys have done a great job, and we really appreciate it. Keep up the good hard work. So if you'd like to find us during the week, it's very simple. www.carolinafreshfarms.com. There you will find a link to a retail outlet nearest you so that you can take a little quick trip by to look at all the things that we may offer. But also, we find, especially via the radio show, a lot of times people have issues within the lawn and landscape, and it's a good resource to be able to take a cutting off of a plant or a good picture, a good quality image, or your phone, take it into the store. And if you don't have time to go by the store, certainly you can find an email link there on our website to email it to the store nearest you. So want to bring that to your attention. Scott.
Yes.
What's new?
It's overseeding time.
It's overseeding time.
Your favorite time.
It's wet. I mean, weather. It's still summer. At least it's felt that way this week.
This week?
90
degrees,
Monday and Tuesday, hot and humid.
Monday and Tuesday is going to be nice, but I think it goes back up after that.
Yeah, I think it gets warm again.
So, it's a little tease.
You know, it's summer. Here's the odd thing, though.
What's that?
The very odd thing. Got up early this morning, got a lot going on. So, man, I'm going to get up early, get out, go run some errands. I go to one retail establishment. They're already putting Christmas trees up.
Oh, yes.
Get in the truck, turn on the radio.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Now, granted, it was an advertisement for some show that's coming up and in the area, but it was Christmas music on the radio.
Oh, my daughter would love that.
We're not even done with summer, folks. We haven't even put our yards to rest for winter yet. We're looking at Christmas trees. Can you believe that? And no, I didn't go to the Christmas tree shop, okay?
Sure you did.
No, it was a retail establishment. I had to pick something up in a hurry. And I was blown away.
You had to pick up an ornament. That's what it was.
Yeah, I needed an ornament. How did you know? I needed some lights, man. Hey, you know what I need in September? I want some Christmas tree lights. That's what I want in September. You know, so, but folks, don't be fooled. It's still summer out there. There's still issues out there. There's still a lot of things you need to do in your lawn, in your landscape, to prepare it for winter. One of them you mentioned, overseeding. Okay, another one is pre-emergent. Another one is large patch. We really got to get on that one. Another one is protecting yourself from armor wars. There are a lot of things I want to talk about today. We talked a little bit, or kind of in depth about some of these last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to continue to have those discussions, top of mind awareness, right in front of you. And I hate to be that way, but that's what we need to do because that's what's important within your lawn and landscape right now. Folks, it's a pretty simple format to the show, as it is most weeks. You can give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. If not, we'll stand on our soapbox and do some other things. You can give us a call at 1-800-347-1063. That's 800-347-1063. And as always, you can text us at 71307. That is 71307. Trying to slow down because I know I say that number fast, right? But we'd love to hear from you. If not, we'll bore you to death about some kind of funky disease or...
I was
going to
say, today
on.
You would definitely not get bored. There's plenty to talk about.
Oh, there's plenty to talk about. But, Scott, I want to go straight to the text lines. You know what we're going to have to do?
What's that?
We're going to have to figure out how to make this font bigger one day. I'm just going to say it out loud.
Here you go.
You know? Yeah, that's probably what I need. Oh, here she comes. She's making the font bigger. I have an area with some double knockout roses that are too big. They need to be cut back and some transplanted. Question. Number one, how much can I cut them back? Question number two, when can I safely transplant them? They are 6 to 8 feet tall right now. Man, those things are huge. Yes, they do need to be pruned back, without a doubt. Need to cut them back. So when will we do that, Scott?
Winter.
You're the resident
plant guy.
Winter time. Winter's the best time. I mean, if you need to do some light pruning right now, you can do that. But winter is definitely the best time of year for something like that. Now, one thing I want to make all listeners and participants aware of, when we're dealing with these knockout roses, we have this rose rosetta disease.
Good point.
Correct?
Yes.
So I want to make certain that people understand that you need to have clean pruners, clippers, whatever you're cutting with. Make sure they're clean beforehand. When you're working on these plants, work on them at that immediate time. Oh, my goodness, look at there. Not only is it larger, it is like black. Look at there. I can see that.
I can almost see that back from here.
I know. Isn't that amazing? I tell you, the wonderful things that Angela does for us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Angela. Got to give her a shout out. But we got to make sure that we clean that. A little bit of bleach. And I say a little bit, not much. I mean, it doesn't take much chlorine to disinfect things. But we need to clean those pruners, and if you prune on one plant, clean it, then go prune on the other plant. Clean them, then go prune on the other plant, okay? So I do that in the winter. I would transplant them. As soon as we start cooling back down, getting some rain, I think you can go ahead and transplant them now. If you're going to transplant them, once the days are much, much shorter now. So two things are going to trigger the plant to slow down and senesce and know that winter's coming. Number one is the soil temperature or ambient air temperature. So temperature as a general rule of thumb. But equally, maybe even more important, daylight hours, length of day. Daylight hours are much less now than what they were a month ago. We're really getting short, man. Right?
Yes.
So the plant's beginning to slow down. So if you're going to transplant them here, say in maybe October, November, you want to transplant them, that's fine. Go ahead and do a little bit of pruning then. Hopefully it's not going to be warm, right, because we don't want to flush out new growth. Or you could prune them down, transplant them in the winter. You know, knock yourself out either way. Should be pretty hardy, fairly easy to transplant if you do it right. And if you dig enough up and transplant enough and – keep them wet, and a little bit of fertilizer. Even though we know it's the winter time of year, plants aren't going to grow as much top growth, we still have some root activity. So put a little bit of fertilizer, mix it in with that backfill, fertilize on the top around that root ball after you transplant them so that we can get those roots healthy and get them tacking and get them growing. Quicker we get it rooted in, the better off you are. It's no different planting a plant than it is planting sod. Quicker we can get it rooted, the better off you are. Scott, we're going to go to the phone lines now that we have all things worked out. Let's go to Dan and Greer. Hello, Dan, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Thank you very much. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
We're great.
Good, good. Well, today is seeding day for me, so I've got the dirty shoes and dirty pants and everything on, and I'm ready to go out and get into it. I have a question for you regarding my soil analysis. I was at the Dunkin' store the other day and got fixed up with some Blue 2 seed, and that's what I'm going to put down. It's in an area of my front yard that I seem to just have to reseed every year, so I'm doing it again, but I'm doing some things differently. I'm not using a lawn care service anymore, and I'm trying to be a lot more careful about what goes on my lawn and what quantities and so forth. So the day after I bought the Blue 2 seed and started laying out my plan, I got my soil analysis results, and I just wanted to see, in light of the analysis, how should I change what was my original plan. I got the seed, and I got some ProScape fertilizer, the 16-25-12 starter that I was going to put down. But my soil analysis says I'm high in phosphorus, excessive in potassium, excessive in calcium, and everything else is in the low band of sufficient. So I'm not really low on anything, and I'm at least medium. So I'm pretty good shape on most things. It's just that the phosphorus, potassium, and calcium are very high. And so I'm wondering, should I proceed with the 16-25-12? Or should I rethink that and do something differently for a starter fertilizer?
Yeah, I would proceed with the 16-25-12, Dan, and here's the reason behind that. I do, you know, I'm a huge advocate of soil samples, and if you're growing any type of lawn, I mean, heck, I would get them once a year, definitely every other year, but why not do it once a year? Because, as you know, I don't know who did it for you, hopefully we did, but soil samples, you could do them through Clemson Extension, which is great. We offer them as a free service at Carolina Fresh at all the retail outlets because we feel they're that important, okay? We know, you being in the upstate with a heavy red clay soil, that's pretty typical where we see, hey, he's kind of anywhere from medium to high on phosphorus, so meaning that the capacity is full on phosphorus. We know that potassium is always high in our red clay soils. Now, if you go to the Midlands, once you get into sandy soils, that potassium is always low. The problem we run into, although those nutrients may be there, nine times out of ten, and without having the sample right in front of me, but nine times out of ten in the upstate of South Carolina with a heavy red clay soil, or anywhere in South Carolina with a clay-based soil, although those nutrients are there, they're tightly bound in that soil. They may not be readily available quickly to the plant. And when we deal with a seedling, we want nutrients available to the plant immediately. And to me, one of the most important, if not the most important nutrient to be available to the plant immediately, is phosphorus. Because that phosphorus, I know, is going to give that seedling vigor, and it's going to help you establish some rooting very quickly. The quicker we can get roots, the healthier that turf's going to be, and the quicker it's going to mature off and go into winter. So I would still go with a 16-25-12. I think that would be good. Now, the calcium, you said it's excessive, not necessarily a bad thing. You know, that tells me that you may have, hopefully, the clay is a little more pliable in your front lawn or in your back lawn, because calcium comes in several different forms. But when we have calcium, typically we see a soil that's a little bit looser, a little more pliable, where we can get better filtration of water and all that good jazz. So what is your pH, by the way? Gotcha. Did it say?
Yeah, it's 6, and it says no lime required, but I seem to have a history over the last few years where I turn my head for a moment, and I've got mossy stuff growing everywhere. And so although arguably the soil may be okay at 6.0, the report says no lime required, and I'm wondering if it'd be wise to go ahead and do a mild application anyway.
Yeah, I think a maintenance rate of the Vertilon Hydro, or, you know, that calcium product, a maintenance rate would be a half rate, would be warranted, because that's going to help maintain where you are. Now, as far as the moss, that's not always, a lot of people think that's directly related to soil pH, things of that nature. It's not. That is related to subsurface drainage. So what that's telling me in your lawn, all, you know, you may be on a 20-degree slope and say, man, I got drainage. Yeah, it may drain on the surface, but it tells me deep in the soil profile, or 3 or 4 inches deep, you're compacted. The soils are not draining the way that properly, because you're becoming, you're beginning to back that water table up pretty high from irrigation, things of that nature, and you're going to see moss begin to take over in that environment. So I feel like moss is more of a direct relation of physical characteristics of the soil, not the chemical compounds of the soil. So that tells me that you're a prime candidate to do some pretty good aerification before you overseed. And the more you can do it,
gotcha,
the less, you know, that moss is always going to be there. And if you can physically rake it out and move it from the surface, then aerify, I think you'll be far better off.
Yeah. Okay. It tends to be, I mean, the lawn's fairly flat in those areas. It tends to be around the periphery where it's harder to get the aeration equipment and so on because it's right up against a sidewalk or a curb.
That's correct.
Or something like that. Last question, what seeding rate should I use for this blue two? In the part of the yard that I'm doing, I did a couple of Roundup applications, and so these areas, most everything is dead. I haven't been able to get it all up out of the ground, but most of it's up, and I want to make sure I get the right seeding rate with this product.
I think it depends on what's the number or the percentage of established grass that you were able to carry through the summer. So that rate could range anywhere from 5 pounds per thousand if you've got a 80-90% good lawn to 8 pounds per thousand if it is a bare dirt area. So, you know,
okay.
I don't think if you keep it 8 pounds or less, I think you're good. You know, you may feel like you're a little heavy-handed, but you'll be okay. So, anywhere from 5 to 8 pounds. And that's really a judge you have to make. You know, what is the density of the lawn right now? And if you feel like the lawn is 80%, then, you know, as far as density, then I'd probably get it in that 6 pound rate, somewhere in that neighborhood. If you feel like it's 90%, drop it back to 5. If you feel like it's only 60, 70% good right now, the lawn, the existing lawn, then I'd probably go ahead and do the 8 pound rate. Treat it more like bare dirt.
Yeah, that's just about what it is because of the two Roundup applications.
Gotcha. So, I'd go 8 pounds.
Okay, very good.
All right. Well,
thank you much.
Dan, good luck seeding, and give us a call back in a few weeks and tell us how that seeding project's going.
Okay.
All right.
Will do. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Have a great weekend.
All right. Bye-bye.
Scott, great call to kick it off because it's the overseeding time of the year. But we're going to switch up a little bit, and we're going to go to Jack in Irmo, who has a question about chamber Bitter, our good friend. Hello, Jack, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Yeah, hello, hello. How's everybody?
We're great.
Okay. All right, number one, this damn chamber bitter. How do I get rid of it? I used to have a pretty nice lawn, but this thing is taking over. Now, I've been told that I use ATRAZINE to spray this stuff and see what I can do about getting rid of it.
Yep. What type of lawn do you have?
Or they told me weed be gone, two treatments of weed be gone.
Okay.
But I don't know how much to use.
What type of lawn do you have?
Okay. In the front, I have got help me.
Bermuda, centipede, St. Augustine.
Centipede in the front.
Okay.
And St. Augustine in the back.
And St. Augustine in the back.
Now I got St. Augustine because I have like 14 trees in the backyard.
Okay.
And it grows beautiful back in the backyard. But the front is all sun.
Gotcha.
So southern exposure. So centipede does well up there, but again, the chamber bitter is popping up all over the place.
Yeah.
And I don't get rid of it.
You're going to have to do a two-step approach, is what it boils down to, Jack. So you've got it now, so you need to do some post-emergent weed control. I like the whoever suggested doing the weed be gone, something along that lines. That's what in the industry we call a three-way herbicide. Personally, I think the safer bet for you is a product called Speed Zone Southern. Okay? If you
Speed, S-P-E-E-D?
That's it. Speed Zone Southern. It's designed for southern lawns, so it's safe on centipede, certainly safe on Bermuda. I just feel like that you're stepping it up to a more professional product at that point.
Okay.
And I think you'll be far better off. Now, in the spring of the year, because this is more, think of it more like a tropical plant. It kind of looks tropical. It loves hot, humid weather.
Yeah, it looks like little palm trees.
So this is a summer plant. So, excuse me, it's going to germinate. It's going to begin to grow in the spring of the year. So you need to make sure you're really keeping up with your pre-emergence. The atrazine can be used as a pre-emergent. The problem with atrazine is not very long-lived in the soils. So you get in a situation where you have to may have to reapply it a little bit more frequently. But sometime in April, really before April, you need to go maybe, you know, you do one pre-emergent in February, maybe another one in March. But the chamber bitter is going to germinate a little bit later into the season.
Okay, with the speed zone, is that the pre-emergence?
No, that is a post-emergent, the speed zone.
Okay,
so that will kill what's there in the lawn now.
Okay, what do you recommend for pre-emergence?
I think you'd, and that's where I was headed, you can use the atrazine as a pre-emergent if you would like. And if you can find it on a granular, you can use atrazine because it is very good against chamber bitter. I'm not 100% certain, but I feel like Dimension, instead of using the Prodiamine or Barricade product, which we normally recommend for most people, this weed species that you have in your lawn is a little bit different. I feel like the Dimension is probably going to come closer to giving you the control you need on that particular weed. So you may want to look for some Dimension in the spring of the year and try that and see if that'll help you.
Okay. Where is one of your stores close to Irmo?
The closest thing we have to Irmo is going to be out on Clemson Road, off of Clemson Road in Columbia. So it's a little bit of drive, Jack, but you know, I'm sure you can find a nice restaurant or something to go have lunch or a reason to go that way one day.
Okay, that's great.
All right.
Great. Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
Jack, you have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Scott, what a wonderful caller. I hope I wish Jack well with the chamber bitter because that is it looks like little mimosa trees.
Yeah.
Right? And that is a nasty little weed, a little bit difficult to take care of. Looks like we're backed up against that bottom of the hour break. I do have Mike and Greer. If you will hold on to the next half of the show, we'll be glad to see you. Stay tuned, folks. You're listening to the Yard Pro Show. Hello, and welcome back to the Yard Pro Show, part two. Wouldn't you say, Scott?
Part two.
It is a delight to have you with us, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. I am Mills Grant, one of your hosts today.
And I'm Scott View.
And it is an absolute delight to be here. Scott, we had a lively couple of discussions there at the beginning of the show, from overseeding to chamber member, all that good stuff. We're going to go to Mike, who's been waiting patiently since the first half of the show in Greer. Hello, Mike, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Great.
You actually have brought up something with your last caller that I need to ask you about in addition to my original question. You had mentioned Speed Zone Southern. Well, now I have a product that says Speed Zone, but it doesn't say Southern. So how do I treat that differently, or don't I?
According to label, and not necessarily. I mean, it depends on the lawn. The Southern is a formulation that it's still the same primary ingredients. They're just at different rates because the Southern, there's certain things, you know, 2,4-D especially, you get a little bit too much on some St. Augustine centipede can tend to have some negative effects or some phytotoxicity. So it's all in the formulation and the way that those three compounds and the percentage that's in the bottle or in the concentrate that makes it a little bit safer, less the toxicity is a little bit less on these warm season grasses, especially if you're using it during the heat of the summer. So, in essence, I guess the easiest way to explain it, Scott, they're both do the same thing, control the same weeds, and they're the same product. It's just one's formulated to be safer on warm season lawns versus the other.
Well, that's kind of interesting because earlier this year I did a little test patch with it trying to kill pennywort.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked just fantastic. So I think it was probably the next weekend that I went and sprayed a bunch of the lawn, and it killed the center, and it killed the fescue. So I called out to your Duncan office, and the gal said, well, was on one of those days where it was like 92 early in the year? And I said, well, it could have been. She said that might have been the issue.
Yep.
So I guess I'll pay a little closer attention with that product then.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you got fescue, do not spray anything when it's 90-plus degrees or really 85-plus. I mean, it's just too warm to grass, especially, and it depends. I mean, if it's been cool weather and it's the first hot day, you can get by with it. But when the grass has been under stress for a little while in the summer months and it's under the stress of drought and heat, that's when we see some phytotoxicity on things like fescue, even if it's labeled for fescue. So be aware of that. Be cautious. And be careful, because you can cause some damage.
Yeah, I did, as a matter of fact. So I kind of basically just gave up on a large part of my lawn because of that, because I just didn't see the sense in it, because it was dead already. So I'll look into that. But here I am fixing to get seeded on Monday, and I think I'm trying to kill yellow sedge. Help me out.
Nuts edge?
Nuts edge, yes,
okay.
That's it. Yellow nuts edge. Well, I used a product that says it kills that, but it didn't. So maybe it's not yellow nuts edge. Nevertheless, it looks like it when I look at the pictures on the internet. But nevertheless, so I'm out here this weekend, since I know I can't put any chemicals on this close to seeding, and I'm digging the stuff up by hand, big old clumps. It's just not difficult. It's just time consuming. And I'm running into a bunch, and I mean a bunch, of grub worms.
Okay.
And I didn't put any product in this area for them. Is there any concern? Will they go away for the winter, and then I can apply it again next March or whenever?
Yeah, and this is the time of year. I mean, to me, there are two great times of year to catch grubs because they seem to be closer to the surface twice a year, once in May and again in September. So it's no surprise to me if you do have some grub infestation in the lawn that you're seeing it a little bit more right now. Now, keep in mind, you know, the grubs that we see in southern lawns, we have to reach a threshold of 8 to 10 grubs per square foot before they really are an issue. So if you're seeing 3 or 4 or 5 grubs in a 2-square-foot area, I don't know if it really warrants trying to apply anything at this point, but you may take a little heed and maybe around mid-May next year apply a grub product. You know, is it going to affect, or the grubs going to affect the lawn immediately if you reseed? Probably not. Grub damage is something that happens over a period of time. Grubs are not near as destructive as an army worm that goes in and chews the top of the plant off. But grubs are more destructive in the sense that they eat the roots, whereas an army worm just eats a leaf. So you got plant material for it to regrow. If you feel like you're really hitting that threshold, then yes, I would go ahead and apply something that's not going to interfere with your seeding. But I would go ahead and apply some type of product, maybe one that has imicloprid. What have you got now, Scott, for grubs?
Yeah, the imicloprid.
Aloft.
Aloft is the other one.
Aloft is another great one. If you feel like you got a lot, I would go ahead and apply it now because we know they're closer to the surface and you can get good control.
Okay, I got you. But other than that, I don't really have to worry so much through the winter. It's just mostly
No, you really don't. Yeah, it's next spring. They'll start feeding in the spring and feed all the way through the summer. So it's kind of, you know, like I said, check that threshold. You know, sometimes, you know, people dig up. I know you said a lot, but your lot may not be as much as my lot because it takes a lot of grubs to really cause some damage to lawns.
Right. Well, I would just guess, because I didn't really do a test. I was just in the process of digging this stuff up. I would guess maybe five per square foot, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite that much.
Yep.
Maybe four, maybe six, somewhere in that area anyway.
So you're approaching that threshold, so you need to do something. If you don't do it this fall, do something in May would be my suggestion.
Gotcha.
All right?
Gotcha. Hey, thank you so much. Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you, Mike. You have a great weekend. Scott, we're going to stay with the phone lines, and we do have a bunch of texts. And I promise you, folks, I'm going to get to those texts. But I really want to get to Joe in Columbia because he's been on hold for about 8 minutes. Wouldn't you say we ought to go to Joe? And he's in Columbia. He's in the Midlands, which is always good to hear from our listeners down in the Columbia market. Hello, Joe, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Good morning. I'm right up the street from your Fresh Farm store, and I absolutely love the place.
Well, we appreciate that, and I know the staff there appreciates the shout out and the thank you as well.
Yeah, it's been just a phenomenal help because I'm not familiar with the southern agricultural methodology here, and you've managed to get me a picture storybook lawn in the front. And other than that, I think I'd have nothing but a bunch of weeds and moss. But you guys have done a great job. I have been utilizing the Lebanon Pro fertilizer with Merit 0.2.
Yes.
And that's kind of a grub control.
It is.
Can I put that on again this year to help prevent the moles? That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to basically prevent the moles.
Yeah, when's the last time you applied it? You put it in back in like May or June?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, and I would go ahead and put, if you know you've had moles, we know that you have a higher grub population. So I would go ahead and treat again like now, because this is the time of year. You know, those grubs, like I said, and if you were listening to the earlier caller, we're going to see those grubs come up closer to the surface twice a year, typically in May and again sometime mid-September through mid-October. So if you know you've had a mole issue, and we know you got grubs, that's what they're eating, so that's the food source they're after. So, yeah, I'd go ahead and apply it again.
Okay, and it, by the way, it absolutely emphatically did work. I've got no more tunnels going all over the place.
It's amazing how that works, right? Now, keep in mind, Joe, all you did is you pushed those grubs out to your neighbor's yard. So if you don't get them to treat their yards, then eventually, though, and if you don't keep a little bit of, you know, next year maybe do one application, if you don't keep up with it and you get grubs back in the lawn, guess what? Those moles are coming right back. So, So, you know, keep that in mind. And if you got that issue, I'd share it with the neighbors and encourage them to do something as well.
Okay, I've got one quick question. I did some patching. Two-thirds of my lawn is beautiful in the front, but one-third is a mess. I've got these crazy vines that grow are very thin, and you pull up, and it comes all the way up from underground for maybe 15 feet sometimes with little tiny leaves. I don't know what it is. But is that a weed preventer I can use to get rid of some of that?
You probably could. Now, pre-emergence is not going to do much because pre-emergence are basically laying down a barricade, and as that seed grows through it, that seedling takes up some herbicide, kills the seedling. So when we get to a perennial weed, which is what you describe, because you have something growing, tillering underground and coming up through, so pre-emergence is not going to be your answer. I think what we need to do is if you can take and snap some good pictures, you're familiar with the folks there in the Charleston location. So, I mean, the Columbia location. So I really feel like if you can snap some good pictures and take them up there or even pull some of that vine up, take it up there for Marshall, for Susie, let them take a look at it at the store there in Columbia, get you a positive identification, then, yes, there's probably some systemic herbicides that they could suggest that maybe you could put on this that'll go back and trail all the way back and kill the root.
Okay, a little ad for you guys. I did get some sod from you people, and it was just the best I've ever gotten.
Wow.
Everything took. And in that area of dysfunctional area of my front lawn, I did try to patch in a few pieces of the sod and thought I was going to be able to grow seed around it. Well, $200 later, none of that seed grew, but the sod is still doing great.
And, Joe, I got to give a little disclaimer now. We didn't pay you to call in and say that, right?
Absolutely not. No.
That's what I figured. But, no, we like to hear successes because, to me, that's what it's all about. That's what the intent of the show has been about all these years, is to share knowledge and make your gardening a little more successful and put a smile on people's faces. And I'm glad to hear that the staff there in Columbia has been, and you know, great group of folks down there, and I'm glad to hear that they're able to do that.
Is there anything you can recommend that I can actually throw in at this time of the season that might take I may, maybe the sun was just too hot even for me to do the centipede. Yeah. Even though I watered it every day, it just didn't. Nothing took out there. I tried four different types of seed, all mixed. I tried the centipede with mulch blend. And the only thing growing is the sod that I got from you guys. Is there anything you can recommend?
At this time of the year, not really, because you know we need warm soil temperatures. We need longer days, and we're very quickly wrapping up the season. You know, soil temperatures have dropped back down in the mid to low 70s. The daylight's certainly a lot less than it was. So I think if you try to do anything at this point in the year, honestly, Joe, I feel like I would just be taking your money for no good, and that's not really what we're into. So I think, you know, be patient. You've got what you got going through winter. Be patient and get on it maybe in May next year. Go a little bit earlier with that centipede seed, and you might find that you have a little bit more success.
Okay, I just need to say one thing. I have to say this to you. You really provide a public service. I hope people appreciate what they have here with this show. I come from the north. They've had a show on for 4 hours every Sunday for 37 years, and it's one of the most popular shows similar to yours. They wouldn't know anything about the gardening down here, but you need something like that. I mean, they regular listeners that really take advantage of everything that's being said. It's an educational process. You guys are the greatest.
Well, we appreciate that, Joe. And we appreciate you being a patron to the store as well, Carolina Fresh Farms. That means a lot. And appreciate you being a patron and tuning in every week as well.
Okay, thanks, guys. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you, Joe. Have a great weekend. You know, Scott, that just makes me feel all warm and fuzzy. And here's why.
A four-hour show?
No, not a four-hour show. I could do this for 4 hours.
Oh, you could.
There's no doubt about it. I could do this for it. But no, it gives you that warm and fuzzy feeling for the purpose of what was the intent when, you know, you and I both at Carolina Fresh Farms, the intent was
to do exactly what?
To do exactly what Joe just described for all the listeners, and as I started referring to them in the last few months, participants, the intent of the show was to do just that. It's because there is a lot of information out there, but it's not that it's bad information. I don't want to say that, because it's just not the appropriate information for where we live. And I think there are a lot of folks like Joe who have moved here to South Carolina and realize, you know, I'm native of this state. You're not. Joe's not. I hope that y'all enjoy what I enjoy. I feel like this is the best state in the union, without doubt.
Oh,
I love this
hands
state.
Down.
And I think a lot of people are moving here and really enjoying this state. But when they get here and they like to garden and things of that nature, well, if you grew up and all you know was New Jersey or Ohio, things are totally different down here. And Joe's right. I've heard some of these syndicated lawn and garden shows that even play on some of the stations in the South. And they're just not pertinent information to what's happening and what we need to do on our lawns, because it's a different animal. Joe, I really appreciate the compliment.
Most
because
definitely.
That is our intent, is to give, you know, like Joe said, is make it more of a public service announcement time where we can talk about things in the lawn and landscape and hopefully make things better. Scott, I want to go to the text real quick because they have really backed up. What are the white specks that are showing up on my hibiscus buds and leaves, as well as other potted plants outside? It kills the buds. I have a feeling that it could be aphids.
Yep.
With the heat, the humidity, the cloud cover, the rainy days, I think it's probably aphids. And I think if you look real close, you may see them move and wiggle a little bit. But I think that's probably aphids. So any type of insecticidal soap, if you want to go more organic. There are some aphid control things out there. And not only that, as soon as we have a frost, boom, they're gone. But I would imagine it's aphids. See if you can get them to move or to fly away. Want to make sure I catch all of these here. I am losing my Lelands one by one or dying from top to bottom. They are about 15 years old, maybe 25 to 30 feet tall. What do I need to do before I lose them all? Thanks for any help you can provide. Jason and Cross Keys. I tell you, man, Lelands are getting to the point where I think there's really a maturation on these plants. There's a date. I think environment plays into that. You can see them some places where they're 20, 25 years old and they're fine. But most people, after about 10 to 15 years, you start to see canker, which I imagine this could be. you know, there's so many issues. There's bagworm issues in these things. What I would suggest on these Lelands, if Jason can do this, is maybe look up, you know, go to www.carolinafreshfarms.com. He can find the link to the Anderson store or the email address, anderson@carolinafreshfarms.com. Snap a picture, send it to Scott. Scott, that goes directly to your phone as well as to your office desk, correct?
It does.
Snap a few pictures, send it to Scott so that we can help get somebody who's more versed in this. Maybe Scott Carlson with Snyder Tree Care. Scott can send that to him, say, hey, Scott, what do you think's going on? But because there's so many things now, I don't think it's so simple as to say, hey, I know it's this. Because Lelands, I'm beginning to see where there's so many issues on there, and I want to make sure we get the positive right identification on what the problem is. I'm looking at moving a fence, but to do so, I need to radically prune and maybe transplant two huge muscadines. Fall is the right time to do this? Question mark. Yeah, I think fall is certainly appropriate. I would go ahead and prune those back if you want to. You know, the neat thing with something like a muscadine, or you know, which is a true grape and is the only true grape native to North America. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So all these other grapes that all these vineyards are growing, guess what? They're not native here. Muscadine's true grape, native to North America. Yes, I would go ahead. You can begin to prune on those. I'd get those moved sometime this fall.
And they are good.
And you can prune them back fairly substantially. So, you know, if you have to hold them a little bit while you're moving the fence or you don't have anywhere to put them directly, just make sure you dig as much root ball as you can. Maybe soak it down a little bit if it's going to be a day or an hour before you can put them into the next place, or even dig a small temporary hole to put them into to keep them moist. But get them in, get them wet, and you should be fine. Wouldn't you agree?
I would.
So, Scott, let's see here. How are we? Oh, we got a few minutes left on time. We have Ron in Greer. Hello, Ron, and welcome to the Yard Pro Show.
Thank you, gentlemen. I have this wide blade grass that's growing around where I have this Bermuda. I've tilled up, put down sod from y'all, and it's kind of blending in real good with what was there. It's looking real nice. Now I've just got some spots around. This is my plan. After everything's dead, after everything's dormant, spray that green stuff with the wide blade with the Roundup, and then come springtime, before I would put down the herbicide, pre-emergent, take what I have for my yard boss, my steel yard boss, or straight edge aerator blades, and just chop that ground up, not cultivate it, but you know, chop it up pretty loose so that the Bermuda will, you know, kind of rock it into there. Does that sound like a good idea, or am I off my rocker?
You could do that, but you don't need to do that in the spring. You need to do that in the summer when it's actively growing. I mean, because that's going to cause some damage to the existing Bermuda that's there. So we don't want to damage that grass until it's fully transitioned and actively growing, maybe sometime in June.
Is that going to hurt me with the weeds coming up?
Certainly, when you destroy that layer of pre-emergent, certainly it's going to open you up and make you more vulnerable for some weeds germinating, would be my thoughts.
Well, that's life. I guess I'm going to have to go that way. Once again, fantastic
all right.
to talk to y'all. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
You as well. Ron. Thanks, Ron. Have a great weekend. Scott, yes?
Real quick, we'll come back with dates soon, but we're working on a chemical disposal drop-off in the Anderson store sometime next month.
Oh, perfect. You know, yes. I got an email from Dr. Burt McCarty late yesterday evening. And Dr. McCarty at Clemson University, great, great guy. And there's actually a drop-off in York County and coming up in October. And I don't have time to pull it up now, but maybe next week we could talk about that, and yep. Perhaps you can get that plan off. But what Scott's referring to, folks, is a place for a homeowner or a commercial landscaper or a golf course superintendent, anybody who has herbicides, pesticides, anything, even if it's a bag of fertilizer that has a herbicide attached to it, if it's sitting around the garage, it's been there a number of years, and you have no intent of using it, you can't see what's on the label, whatever, if it's hazard, it's in your garage, you want to get rid of it, you can't just dump this stuff in the landfill, okay? Let's be responsible. I don't know if people understand that, Scott. When you buy a bottle of chemical by the letter of the law, you have to put it through a sprayer to dispose of it. That's how you dispose of it. So you can't just go throw it in the garbage. You know, it's against the law. Not only is it bad for our environment, there's a reason it's against the law, because it's bad for the environment. It is against the law. So you're talking about a waste disposal or a pesticide disposal or clinic, or not really a clinic, but a day or 2 days to drop them off, which I think is a fantastic
idea. We're going to do it on a Saturday.
Idea. Do it on a Saturday
morning.
Or maybe we can even get them to come up there on a Friday.
Friday
and Saturday.
Saturday.
So we'll give you some updates on that. I think that's
Josh
a great
Josh is going to get in touch with you.
Perfect.
Yep.
So I would love to see that happen.
Yep.
Heck, I might even have a few things at my house.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
But there's one thing nobody's ever going to get. It's my Chlordane. I know there's some people out there chuckling now, going, oh, he's got Chlordane. Yep.
What's
I still
his address?
Have some. I still have some. I can possess it. You know, just can't sell it. Can't buy it. Hadn't for years. But, man, it's some wicked stuff. Folks, I want to finish up the last little bit of the show very quickly. Actually, I don't have much time to finish it up and say, hey, it's been a great time talking to you today. You've been tuned in to the Yard Pro Show, brought to you by Carolina Fresh Farms. You can find us during the week. It's pretty simple at www.carolinafreshfarms.com. Have a great weekend gardening.